Hi, what up, guys? This is episode 20 of The Boss Talk. I'm Ev. I'm riding solo. Yet again, 2 weeks in a row, Sean cannot make it tonight. However, he has a good excuse this time. He's at the Red Sox game getting some great social media content for Guy Boss and Sports, so I can't hate on it too much. Just the fact that it's two in a row. Come on, man. No, but it's all good. I think Sean owed me some, or I owed Sean some solo episodes just when I missed a few earlier in the year. So let's get into it. We're talking Celtics today. And because Sean wasn't here to have a conversation with, I was like, oh boy, how am I going to just ramble again for an entire episode? So I decided to tweet out, and thank you to my lovely Twitter followers. I tweeted out like, hey, help me out. Give me some stuff to talk about. And we have like 15 questions. I didn't expect that much. I expected like maybe five questions that I could, you know, do 5-10 minutes on each. Well, now we're going to have to rapid fire some of these, see where some of them go, all that jazz, because we got a lot of questions to get through. And I'm going to, a few of them overlap each other, so I'll give shout outs for two people, like in one question. You guys will understand it. But yeah, this is going to be great. It's a new thing because Sean and I have never, ever had 15 plus questions come in when we ask for it. We always are looking for questions from you guys. So not that I'm trying to shit on this. I just didn't expect it too much. That's, you know, we were expecting a little explosion and we got a nuclear bomb over here. So it's all good though, because all Celtics related, you know, I can handle that. If it was Red Sox, Sean might be the better guy, but let's get to it. Let's get it. Let's jump right into it. I'll give you my own thoughts on that Bucks series, because I have a little point I want to make, and then we will jump into the questions. So a couple of you guys were asking me, and this wasn't necessarily on the threat of, you know, getting questions for the podcast, but a couple of you guys were just individually asking me how I felt about the series, because you know I wasn't too high about the Celtics coming off the Pacers win. That series just didn't do it for me. The Pacers stunk. We didn't get to see the Celtics team really roll them because every game was pretty close, and again, the Pacers just stunk. So if you listen to last week's episode, I wasn't, oh yeah, rah, rah, we're going to kill the Bucks. No, I didn't think that. I almost thought the opposite, and I said, I hope I'm wrong. I hope we can beat the Bucks, because you know how much I love the Celts. But that game one, a 22-point game one win, 22 points against the best team in the East. Damn. Now, if there was one thing that was going to spark my confidence and give me a full-force green teamer diehard attitude moving forward, it was a game one punch in the mouth like that that the Celtics just threw. Damn, a 22-point win over Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yeah, I can pronounce his name A+. Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks, the number one seed. Smacked him in the face. Knocked him down. In fact, Jaylen Brown dunked it. He punched it on Giannis's head. All thanks to Kyrie Irving going for 26. Al Horford, in my opinion, player of the game. 20 points, 11 rebounds, and we're going to get into a shirt of the week code for you guys in just a little bit. So hang on, and you'll be able to get our Aggressive Al t-shirt very cheap. Very cheap. And it's a great t-shirt. So yeah, those two guys really, really stepped up. Jaylen Brown, again, I mentioned him. He stepped up too. It was everything we needed to see, except for, and Gordon Hayward, right? Like, I can go on and on. The one thing was that Tatum was not there. So like, I would be on cloud nine if all the Celtic players went off. Like, Terry Rozier had a good game. You know, everyone that we were kind of depending on last year, and all of a sudden they disappeared for a little bit, or not disappeared, but took a step back. No, boom, drop of the hat, they're back. Except Jason Tatum. That would have been awesome. I will throw that in there. That's the one caveat, that the one negative was that Jason Tatum disappeared, and his knock is that sometimes he disappears. Well, guess what? He literally disappeared. Like, I don't know if Jason Tatum played yesterday. But point being, my confidence is fully back in this team. Obviously, this series is going to tinker with that. And, you know, now if they lose three straight games, I'm not as confident anymore. But we're talking right here, right now. After game one, a big old punch in the face. Damn, my confidence is back. I'll be honest. I will be honest. Right now, I'm eating a little bit of crow because I didn't see that coming. I did not see that coming. Nor did many people. So I don't mind saying that I might have been wrong, because I probably would have predicted a close Bucks win game one. But that was not even close to the thing. You know, maybe there's a glimmer of hope when the Bucks came back to make it 52-50 at halftime. But after that, it's like the Celtics didn't even look back. Damn, yeah, my confidence is totally back in this team. It really is. And that's going to show in some of these questions that I'm going to answer. And we'll jump right into them right now. So the first one we have coming up here is from Why Reality Check. Say we advance and Marcus Smart returns. Do we go back to the 9-man rotation or do we keep it at 8 as we have been? Now, that is an awesome question. I think I talked about it in my stream a little bit. I've talked about it with buddies, other people. It is a really good question because all this entire year we've had, you know, the minutes issue where guys don't feel like they're playing as much. They're not getting theirs, blah, blah, blah. Right now, we're down to the 8-man rotation, and it's wonderful. Terry Rozier, Marcus Morris, you know, Gordon Hayward, all these guys off the bench are looking like studs. And it's like, that's kind of what it looked like last year. But the one drawback of that theory is one of your best players, and yes, Marcus Smart is one of the best players in the Celtics. I don't care what you say if he's not a skilled offensive player or anything like that. He is super important. Not that they needed him against the Bucks, I guess, or the Pacers, but he is super important. I think we all know that. That's the one drawback. It's like, yeah, you're rocking this 8-man rotation, but it's Marcus Smart coming back. That's a lot different than if, you know, say Terry Rozier was injured and they're like, okay, Terry, we know you're really good, but we're kind of rolling right now. No, Marcus, I see them going back to a 9-man rotation. I don't even know if I'd call it a rotation, though, to be honest. I don't think it would be a rotation. It's more of a, you know, 9 guys will play a chunk of the game. Obviously, he's going to throw in like the Tices and Ogilvies when need be. So it's not even a strict 8-man rotation right now. So I wouldn't use the word rotation for this 9-man concept. I think it is going to be a very heavy 8-man still. However he figures out, however Brad can work that in, because now you're adding in a guy that needs 25 plus minutes. But they're not going to stick to a total 8-man rotation. Does that make sense? So it's going to be the same sort of format. They're going to go top heavier or more top heavy, but they're going to start playing Marcus Smart more. Terry Rozier is not going to just get benched. So I do see them sticking with a top heavy lineup, not an 8-man. I guess I'll say that top heavy lineup, but Marcus Smart's certainly coming back in. It's not, and no one is going to get the boot. Guys have played too well in the playoffs right now for Brad to be like, okay, Smart's back. Hey, Terry, you take a seat. It's not going to happen like that. But we'll see if Marcus Smart comes back, who again is one of the more important players, and all of a sudden they start losing. Then you're like, we should get better with Smart in the lineup. Is it the rotation? Which would be very, very interesting to look at or to see, but hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully we kick the Bucks right where it hurts. Kick the Bucks in the butt. And then we keep on rolling. Next question. This one's coming in from Brent Hout. Hope I'm saying your name right there. He says, if the Celtics re-sign Kyrie but are unable to trade for AD, what do they do? Are Horford, Brown, Tatum, Smart, and a healthy Gordon Hayward enough to help Kyrie and the Celtics win a championship? It's a good question. And I would say, this is a wimpy answer, I'm sorry, Brent, but I would say hopefully, right? Like, you don't know what happens. Golden State's getting older. Kyrie Irving is getting, you know, he's right in his prime area, and we haven't seen what Tatum and Brown truly, truly can be. I do think Gordon Hayward's going to get back to superstar status, so forget about him for a second, because I do believe that this Celtics team is so dependent on whether or not Tatum and Brown work out, regardless of if Kyrie resigns or not. Now, obviously, if they trade one or two of those guys for Anthony Davis, it's not so much dependent on how if they work out or not, but play these two scenarios in your head. Just like you said, if Kyrie stays but they get no additional pieces, it's totally on Tatum and Brown. What can you guys become? Can you become second and third or third and fourth, depends on how you look at it, type players? Kyrie leaves, guess what? It's all on them. It's even more emphasized of, all right, what type of players are you guys going to be? Because we can't trade you now. We're not going to trade you now. You guys are the ones we need. So we'll see. I do think, let me go back. I said hopefully. That was a wimpy answer. I will say yes, because I do think Gordon Hayward's getting back there. I wouldn't really throw Horford in that mix. I think he's going to slow down. But I do think that Tatum can become a superstar in this league. So, and if you've watched my post-game streams, I've kind of declared myself on Team Tatum. Forget about Anthony Davis. Because I think Tatum, you know, give him the time. I already talked about how he disappeared, but he's still a 21-year-old. He's not there yet, but yet he shows flashes of being an absolute stud. Give him some time, and I do think that that's enough. And I guess, and again, it's totally contingent on, I won't even say Brown, it's totally contingent on whether or not Tatum becomes the star we want him to be. Because I do think a big three of Kyrie, Tatum, and Gordon Hayward is definitely enough. When you have pieces like Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, these guys that are also very good secondary and tertiary players. Very good. All right, now we got a duplicate question coming in from Michael David. and Eric Hamill, they're pretty much asking if I think the Celtics can sweep. Eric actually specifies if the Celtics win game two, do we see them sweeping? I would say no. All right, because not to call game one a fluke. I want to make that clear when I'm starting here. I'm not saying game one's a fluke, but you're not going to contain Giannis Antetokounmpo to 22 points shooting, you know, and he had a lucky 9 points from deep, which he never gets. You're not going to do that multiple times or four times in a row, especially. You're not. Chris Middleton's due for a big, you know, go off game. You're not going to get the Bucks to play so poorly as they did. I get it. The Celtics shut the Bucks down yesterday. They slapped them in the face and said, hey, we're here to play. But it doesn't matter. Stars in the NBA are stars for a reason. Giannis Antetokounmpo is guaranteed to have a few really, really good games. And he's such a game changer that, no, I don't see the Celtics. Even if they win these two in Milwaukee, I see the Bucks taking one in the Garden. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. Again, this is one of those sort of pessimistic attitude type answers, but it's just what I'm feeling. It's me being honest. That's my first reaction to that. I don't think it's going to be a sweep. Even if the Celtics go up 3-0, I'm not sure I would bet on a sweep. Crazy, I know, and I could be wrong. Don't take that, take that with a grain of salt, because, I mean, I'll be partying, I'll be popping champagne, shotgunning beers if the Celtics go ahead and sweep. I'm not going to be mad that my prediction was wrong. I don't give a shit about my prediction. But if I'm being honest, I just don't see it totally happening. And kind of mixed in with that question, we have another one. It sprouts from there. Isaac Doble says, hey, bud, here's my question. C's made a terrific job containing Giannis yesterday. Do you think they can keep it up during the whole series? And I kind of just answered that without meaning to answering the last question. I don't think that they can do it for the whole series. I mean, I love the game plan of them. If you rewatch those defensive sets, they were just collapsing on Giannis. He had nothing. He had no idea what to do. But I don't think you can do it for a whole series. You know, like that. You're telling me a whole series, maybe for the majority of the series, and they get the win. Sure, I'm not going to tell you no to that. But for the entire series, you're telling me no matter how many games, this could go seven games, and do I think that they're going to contain Giannis? Isaac, my man, I don't think so. I don't think so. And I wish I could say, hell yeah, screw Giannis, but he is that good that, again, like I just said, he's due to have at least a couple of, you know, just game-changing performances. I would bet on that, you know? So whether or not we're containing him or not, I don't think it's going to be to the level of what we did yesterday for the entire series, because that was pretty damn impressive. This one's coming in from Michael Medina. Michael says, how do you see Brad adjusting to the Bucks for game two, given they make some adjustments as well? So I do see the Bucks on the defensive end. They're going to make sure that pick and pop with Al Horford doesn't just stay open every single time. So whether it's Gordon Hayward coming off the screen or Kyrie Irving to do it a lot with, I don't see them leaving Al Horford in the pick and pop sort of a, you know, pick and fade scenario as much. It's not going to happen. So the guy coming off the screen is probably going to have a guy behind him. And Gordon Hayward's been doing a phenomenal job of this. The guy coming off the screen is really going to make sure he gets that guy on his hip, right? Because either the big man covering Al, or they're going to switch. So either way, Gordon Hayward or Kyrie Irving, someone's getting past the guy covering him, and then it's a decision. Then it's a two-on-one. Al Horford doesn't need to fade in that situation. We see it with Gordon Hayward all the time. He gets the guy on his hip. He's not moving at the speed of light, but he gets the guy on his hip, and then that defender doesn't matter. He's behind Gordon Hayward. So now you have a center covering Gordon Hayward and Al Horford, and Gordon Hayward's responsible enough to make the correct decision. So I see a lot more pick and rolls. Brad Stevens loves the pick and roll, loves the pick and pop. If they're going to shut down the pick and pop, guess what they're going to go to? The pick and roll, the dribble handoff, stuff like that, stuff to get the defense switching. So I guess the long way of answering this question is, if they do make adjustments just for that specific thing, I know I'm focusing on that here, I also see the Celtics being able to, you know, Brad Stevens is very good at this. One thing I'll give him credit for is having that sort of option A, B, and C. That pick and pop doesn't work. Guess what? There's another B and a C plan coming off of that. As far as Giannis goes, they're going to spread the court even more. They'll probably play a couple more shooters on the floor with him. And, you know, the Celtics are going to have to maybe, I don't want to say one-on-one, but they're not going to be able to collapse on Giannis as well. You know what I mean? Like, Giannis is kicking the ball to freaking Ersan Ilyasova, who stinks. He stinks. There's gonna be more confident shooters out there. Whether they have to go small and play a couple more guards, play George Hill and Eric Bledsoe at the same time, who knows? But you know, Mike Budenholzer is a damn good coach. He's not gonna just let the Celtics collapse on Giannis over and over again and just get swept in the series. That's not gonna happen. This isn't a question, but it's coming in from my man Tommy. Tommy says we need to give some love for the passing of Hondo. You're right, Tommy. Let's do a moment of silence for Hondo, for John Havlicek. Well wishes to his family, to everything. Crazy. 79 years old. In this case, I could say 79 years young. That's tough. One of the most underrated but most legendary Celtics ever. You know, a casual basketball fan does not realize that he is the all-time leading scorer in a Celtics uniform. That is, it's incredible. Think about the names. Larry Bird, Paul Pierce. Hell, people would probably say Bill Russell just based on merit. John Havlicek. So, you know what? Prayers to his family and friends and everyone that's going through it, you know, that's totally, because we obviously care about it as Celtics Nation, but I can only imagine how his family thinks, you know, and what they're feeling right now being so close to the situation. It sucks. Really does. No one ever wants to see someone go, especially a legend like that. But let's keep it on the positive note here. No need to get down right now. We'll get back to some questions. Michael is for real asks, do you have a Kyrie Irving jersey? No, I don't have a Kyrie jersey. I'm usually more of a buying, you know, like, I have like four Larry Bird jerseys, high school, two college, and two pro. I'm more of like the old school jerseys, buying the jerseys that are has-beens, not has-beens, that's not the right word, but you know, Hall of Famers or stuff like that, because guys in the NBA move around too much. I'll get t-shirts and stuff like that for players. Like, I have the Guy Boston Sports Got Ankles Kyrie shirt. But I'm not much of a current player jersey guy. It's weird, but it's the truth. You know, I'm more of a getting a guy's college jersey or a Hall of Famers jersey. And I guess that probably stems from that jersey is never going to go out of date. You know what I mean? Like a Rajon Rondo Celtics jersey, a Ray Allen Celtics jersey has like no meaning now. What are you going to say? Oh, they were wearing that when they won the championship? Yeah, but those guys aren't like, you know, it's not as special as a Larry Bird Celtics jersey or Indiana State Larry Bird jersey, you know, or a Valley High Larry Bird jersey. I like the classic, the sort of weird jersey. So no, I don't have a Kyrie Irving jersey. This question's coming in from Edgars. He asks, do the Celtics really need Anthony Davis? Could Durant join Irving in Boston? The Durant's an interesting topic because we almost landed him a couple years back. And we know he's boys with Kyrie Irving. But I don't think that they'd be able to, you know, sign those two guys because Anthony Davis we'd be trading for. So, Edgars, here we have two separate things here. You're saying, do we need Anthony Davis who we'd be trading for? Or could they sign Kevin Durant? I mean, maybe if they do a sign and trade and Gordon Hayward goes to the Warriors and Durant comes here. I don't know if I would see that happening. So I'm gonna nix the Durant idea for now. Not going to say it's not going to happen. I just don't know enough about it. And I really don't. I haven't put the time into figuring out if it could work or how it's going to work. Who knows where Kevin Durant's head's at? Anyways, as far as do they need Anthony Davis? I don't think they need Anthony Davis. I've said this many a times before. They don't need Anthony Davis. It'd be great to have him, but he is the icing on the cake. This team is good enough to compete. But I wouldn't say the cake always gets the job done. Sometimes you need the icing to satisfy the customer, to satisfy the person eating it. So Anthony Davis would be the icing, but you don't always need it. You know, they don't need Anthony Davis. I don't want to use that word. They don't need Anthony Davis. And especially, obviously, I'm biased because I just told you a few minutes ago that I believe Tatum's going to turn into a superstar. So if you don't believe that, then yeah, hell. You're not agreeing with what I'm saying. It makes sense. But I believe Tatum's going to turn into a superstar. So no, they don't need Anthony Davis. If they could figure out a way to get him, Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, that's a cake with a nice icing on it. You know, it would make the customer happy 10 times out of 10. But you don't always need the icing. Sometimes you just want the cake. All right, this one is coming in from our buddy New England Sports Tribune at the Nest 2019 _. He says, question for the boss talk. Do you think the Celtics have finally hit their peak and are becoming the dominant team that many expected them to be heading into the season? I think that this is the best they've looked, but I think I want to see a little bit more. Is that too a gray area of a way to answer that? I think they might be hitting their peak. I don't know if they've hit their peak. That's one game, and I hate to be the pessimist. It's one game, you know, and again, I might be a unique case because I didn't like what I saw against the Pacers. I'm glad they swept them. I'm glad they swept the Pacers' ass and just got them out of town. But I didn't love what I saw. You know what I mean? The Pacers put up a fight, which I didn't even want to see. I wanted the Celtics rout them. However, that was the best teamwork basketball I've seen the Celtics play all year against the Bucks in game one. So I think they're hitting their peak. I do, but it depends on if they're going to get to their peak within this series, you know, or the Bucks kind of capitalize on, okay, we're almost there. So, no, I don't think that they've hit their peak. I don't think that they're going to be the dominant behemoth in this series that we thought they were. I think they still have a little bit more time. However, think about, I will answer it like this. NEST, listen to this. If you think about what you thought this team was, they don't need to be at that peak to beat the Bucks. We all thought this team was going to be absurd. We thought this team was going to be nuts. They could be like 90% of that and still beat the Bucks. Think about what you thought this team was going to be at the beginning of the year and then just tune it down just a little bit. Guess what? You're telling yourself, wow, that's still a better team than the Bucks. So no, they're not at their peak. They might not hit their peak. I don't think they're going to hit their peak during this series, but that's not to say that they need to hit their peak to beat the Bucks, because I don't think that's the case whatsoever. I don't think that's the case at all. I think that the Celtics team can certainly beat the Bucks, just, you know, getting to their peak. Not right there yet. They're not at the top of the mountain, but they're almost there. All right, this one's coming in from Hunter. And it's something we've talked about before. And Hunter, I'll tell you this, I'll preface it. I'm going to disagree with you once I get to reading this. Hunter says, if Kyrie leaves, which I'm leaning towards he isn't, after seeing how the playoffs are going so far, who is the new point guard of the future? And he says, this is what I don't agree with, Hunter. You must not follow me too closely, because you wouldn't even ask me this. You know that I'm a Terry Rozier fan. He says, I don't think Terry is ready to lead a team at point guard. And who would be my first choice? Obviously, Hunter, you're killing me. I got to take my bias out of this. I love Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier said I had a nice jump shot when he saw me shoot a basketball. So how can I not be biased towards the guy? I think that, if Kyrie leaves, I want to see them maybe try and work something around to get Kemba. I don't know. That's my easiest answer, you know, replace a star with a star. A guy that's a UConn, and I guess, you know, loosely termed local boy. You know, he's from UConn. Clearly a clutch player. He kills the Celtics every time. He seems like he'd be a good fit. I'm pretty sure that there's some obstacles and money-wise that they're going to have to go around, because obviously it'd just be easier to re-sign Kyrie. They can give him more money than anyone else. But yeah, I will say, let me get to the Terry Rozier. I do think that the Celtics would be okay if Terry Rozier has to get the reins. Terry Rozier, man, I hate getting into it. Hunter, you're doing it to me. Terry Rozier is not as bad as everyone thinks he has been this year. He wasn't as good yet as he was last year. But picture what he was last year. No one was like, oh, screw Terry Rozier, he can't lead a team. No, everyone was like, hell yeah, Team Terry. Everyone loved him. Who's to say he can't work back to that? And I don't think he would have to lead the way Kyrie Irving does. Like I've said multiple times in this podcast, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, those would be the two guys. Those would be the guys. Then you have a Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, Al Horford. I think the team would be okay. Again, I don't think it's, I've said this multiple times, I don't think that's the worst case scenario. I don't think that's that bad. But they would take a couple steps back. Then we're completely relying on Tatum because, you know, as good as I think Hayward's going to be, Tatum is the future. And that's what they need. If they're going to go with Terry, they need the future. So I disagree with you saying you don't think Terry can do it. I think Terry could do it because I don't think he'd have to lead or run the team as much as you're saying. Does that make sense? I tried to keep a PG there for all of us and Hunter asking that question. I can get very defensive over Terry Rozier. All right, we got more questions. I told you, you guys came to play today. Holy shit. This one's coming in from Emily Robinson. She says, if the Celtics aren't able to keep Giannis out of the paint like they did in game one, do you think the Celtics will make it out of the series? If they do make it out of the round, do you think they'll fare better against the Sixers or Toronto? I'll answer that second part easily. They would definitely fare better against the Sixers because we own their ass. And the Toronto Raptors are just filthy. So, Emily, I would say, to answer your second part of your question there, I'd love to play the Sixers just because, one, it would be a lot more entertaining to me, you know, shitting on Sixers fans, because I know that that series might go the distance. The Toronto Raptors worry me. If they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals and have to play the Raptors, I'm not necessarily guaranteeing that the Celtics would even sniff the Raptors' jockstraps, given the fact that 14 seasons in a row now, we haven't won in Toronto, and where are four of those games going to be played? In Toronto. So I don't need to hash into that because it's going to make me seem way less confident than I am. But I would love to play the Sixers, you know, not the Raptors. But that first part of the question is, do I see them making it out of the round? If they can shut down other facets of the Bucks game. If Chris Middleton doesn't even sniff another point or another good game for the rest of the series, the Celtics can let Giannis drop 50 a game. No one else is going to score. This team is very, very much, you know, weighted on Giannis Antetokounmpo, obviously, but then Chris Middleton is their second guy. Chris Middleton is really good, underrated, and I don't even know if I can call him underrated anymore, but he has been underrated, but he's been awesome this year. So, yes, I think if they let Giannis roam wild, it's going to be a hell of a difficult series for them. We all know that, but I still think they can get out of the round. I still think they can beat the Bucks if Giannis goes beast mode, because it's going to take other guys, and the Bucks aren't as deep as the Celtics. Now, think of last year. Giannis went off. Giannis had some games. Celtics still managed to beat them in seven without Kyrie Irving, without Gordon Hayward. So I'm going to say, yes, they can beat the Bucks. Obviously, we would all prefer if they contain Giannis and have him score 20 points a game like that. Now, if that doesn't happen, they're going to have to shut down every other part, not just Chris Middleton. They're going to have to shut down every other part of the Bucks game if they're going to let Giannis. Not to say let, but if they're going to allow Giannis to tear them up, no one else can produce for the Bucks. That's the only way that's going to work. All right, we only got a couple more here. This one's from ByronCop19. He says, what was my reaction when the freak, the Greek freak, tripped up Al Horford after Al double-stuffed him? To be honest, I don't know if he did it on purpose. I saw some people saying it, but if you look at Giannis, like, he just wasn't moving his legs. Maybe he didn't do everything in his power to not be in Al Horford's way. But my reaction was, I was probably still just up and jumping around after him stuffing him. You know what I mean? I wasn't even thinking about the trip. And I don't know if anyone really thought on the team, or on either team, that it was an intentional trip, because no one really got up and did anything. So I didn't really have that much of a reaction to the trip, to be honest. But I was up and pumping and chest pumping and everything like that when Al Horford stuffed him twice in a row. And we end the questions with this one coming in from my guy, Clint. He says, are we good enough this year? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Wait, Ev, I got this one. Yes. Love it, Clint. I do think the Celtics, you know, and like I said, I might have the fool's confidence back, but I do think the Celtics are good enough right now. My confidence has never been higher this entire season. It hasn't. After a game one punch in the mouth, and again, I didn't like what I saw against the Pacers. I'm probably in the minority. I didn't like what I saw against the Pacers. But the way the Celtics played against the Bucks, hell yeah. Hell yeah. But let's get to what I promised you guys. I told you guys that you could have a cheap Al Horford, an aggressive Al t-shirt. And I deliver on my promises. A singleton always pays his debts, or keeps his promises. So you guys can use the code TALK, T-A-L-K, and it will save you $5 on the aggressive Al t-shirt. And you might be thinking, at $5, that's not that much. It's a $16 t-shirt. Right now, it's retailing $16. You use a $5, you're walking out the door virtually with an $11 t-shirt, or $11.99. Maybe it's $12. So use that promo code TALK. It'll take $5 off the Aggressive Al t-shirt in our store. You can have it for the playoffs, because we know we're going to have some more games this Celtics season. We don't have to worry about buying that Celtics merch being like, I hope their season's going to be around when I get it. No, no, no. We got some more games to play. So head over to guybostonsports.com/store, pick up the t-shirt, use the promo code TALK. It'll take $5 off that t-shirt. Unfortunately, that's the only t-shirt that code's going to work on. You know that Sean and I like to give you guys the shirt of the week, so I guess this is a version of the shirt of the week. If you missed out, this is me plugging my own stuff here. The Celtics post-game streams I do, you guys can get this t-shirt for $11. Well, guess what? I gave that t-shirt out for $10 for people live on my stream, and a few of my faithful and loyal viewers were able to pick up a t-shirt for $10, which you can't even walk into a discount store and really do. So head over to guybostonsports.com/store, pick up the Aggressive Al t-shirt, use the code TALK, T-A-L-K, just like the boss talk, T-A-L-K, $5 off. You're walking out the virtual store with a cheap t-shirt, and it's great quality. We are only producing the quality over there at guybostonsports.com. But thank you guys for all of the questions. I didn't even have to prep really anything for this show. That was awesome. It was a lot of questions, a lot to get to. It wasn't the easiest thing in the world, because I'm not able to steer the ship how I want to. I'm kind of aiding it towards whatever you guys asked, but I kind of moved some questions around. Hopefully they bled into each other and made sense. But I like that. We'll probably try and do a little bit more of that. Sean and I usually cap the questions at, you know, two or three per episode, because we have other stuff we want to talk to each other about. But damn, you guys killed it. You guys killed it. All I tweeted out was help me out. And you guys sure as hell helped me out. 15 plus questions. I hope I got to them all. I was taking screenshots of them, trying to get the timestamps. I was going crazy. I was texting Sean being like, I mean, I don't know what to do. I'm all on my own. And now I got 17 other people that are trying to talk to me. So thank you guys a lot for the questions. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you made it this far, you already have a promo code to get a really good deal on a shirt. So I hope you capitalize on that. And send in a picture when you get the shirt. We'll see you guys in the next episode. Go Celtics. Let's go.